you some maneuvering room.
Y'all get a sheet of paper ready. Could be small, could be big. Borrow one from your neighbor. Find a pen, a crayon. You're going to write something real small soon. Oh, Jay Reams has a notebook. So send the youngins to get whatever they need to get. And it could be just one per household. Doesn't have to be every person. Just one per household. All right, that makes it easy. Because we're going to do something important today. And it's been a long time since I've had this stirring inside of me where my knees are weak. And I just want to fall on my face and praise Yahweh. So at any time, if I fall on the floor and start praising Him in the season of rejoicing, join with me. It's Him doing it. So, and in fact, I'm going to say the prayer on my knees simply because I want to make sure I'm obedient to what vision I feel Abba put in my heart to do to start things out. And give Him all the glory, give Him all the credit due His name for what He's doing in each one of us. So I'm removing the shoes and just getting ready to get started, and we're going to drive home some points and that Yahweh is really going to do a mighty work today through all the things that are happening and through what He's about to say. So Yahweh, we come to You with clean hands and a pure heart, desiring You on Your Sukkot. There is no other. Thank You. Cleanse each person here. Remove all any filth that's left over. Pull all of it out. Humble hearts, may we tremble at Your word. But Father, may we rejoice in the remembering of our ancestors, and the remembering of the ancient paths, and the remembering of us being freed from the bondage of Egypt, of sin and slavery, to Hasatan, amen, and every demonic thing. So we praise the King of all kings, ruler of heaven and earth, Yeshua HaMashiach, be raised up, be lifted up, and only You speak, Yeshua. You speak. Praise Your holy name. Yeshua. Amen. Now, when you're at a campground and you're the father of four children and you've got a wonderful wife, Sherry is, I hear a lot of things spoken to me because I'm out there among people a lot, more so than Sherry. She's a mother, but the glue that holds our home together is my wife, Sherry. She, behind the scenes, is so discerning that where I lack, she picks up. And I'm not talking about 50-50 here. I'm talking like 90-10 here. I mean, she is a wonderful woman, and I love her very much. And I didn't know what I was getting into when I married her because I was just a young blind man, but Yahweh put us together and He has working out all the kinks and He's doing a mighty work in us, as I trust He is in all the couples and all the people that are here today. Because even though you might not be sitting here married today, you do have a bridegroom that you desire to be married to and to be with, and we're claiming that Yeshua is all of our bridegroom. So that's the important thing today. To start things out, we need to lift up to Yahweh a praise. We need to rejoice right away. So if you'll turn to Psalm 136, we've done this once before in here, but we've been ascending, folks. We've been climbing up to Yahweh. And I love that line that Dixie has told me in a book that she was reading. It slips my mind which book it was, that you ascend in worship, descend in war. Yahweh equips you. Worship warrior, thank you. See what I mean by my wife? So would you please stand as we read Psalm 136. I want participation today because this is our feast. This is what Yahweh designated for us. It's not just for me to get up here and talk. You can hear me talk any day of the week. I want you to hear Yeshua talk to you today. Anything from Yeshua. Open your hearts, open your ears. Now, when I read the first part, the first verse says, give thanks to Yahweh for he is good. Then we all come in for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to Yahweh for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone has done great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who skillfully made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who spread out the earth on the water, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule the night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down Egypt's firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought Yisrael out from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who split apart the sea of Suf, for his mercy endures forever. And made Yisrael cross right through it, for his mercy endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the sea of Suf, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the desert, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever. Yes, he slaughtered powerful kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sikon, king of the Emori, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. Then he gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. To be possessed by Yisrael, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembers us whenever we are brought low, for his mercy endures forever. And rescues us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. We're serious. We're serious. We've said that I don't know how many times. Are you serious? Are you serious today? As serious as you are is as serious as he's going to be back to you. It's reciprocal. May we be serious today. Genuine, sincere. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Praise you, Yahweh. Now, I'm going to get you to open up to several passages today, because we're really going to drive home a point. And one of the main points I'm going to be coming out and bringing out is that Yahweh's preparing us to declare via remembering, by the way of remembering. He's preparing us to declare these days by remembering. Remembering. In the Hebrew, zikron. So, let's turn to Leviticus, Vayikra 23:23. And we're going to read just one of the many places where that word is used. And you're thinking, when you get there, if you've not already thought that aren't you talking about Sukkot? This is about Yom Teruah. Well, it starts with Yom Teruah. This season started there. So we're just going to touch on this briefly and read Leviticus 23:23-25. Yahweh said to Moshe, Tell the people of Israel, in the seventh month, the first of the month, is to be for you a day of complete rest for remembering. A holy convocation announced with blasts on the shofar. Do not do any kind of ordinary work and bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Focus in on the word remembering. And of course, it's a day of blowing. But that word remembering, I want you to think back. Think back in your life. Think back of where you've been. Think about all the things that Yahweh has done for you to bring you to this point. Think about the spouse he's chosen for you, the children he's given to you, the people he's brought into your life, your mother, your father, aunts and uncles, all those other congregations, all those who have had an impact for you to be here where you are today. Remember, think of all the things that have come out of your mouth during special occasions, weddings, celebrations, when somebody's about to pass away. Important words, serious words, vows, remembering. Now, the word is zikron. When you look it up, you'll find a few definitions for it. Record or a memorial. One of the places when Yahushua led them into the land, they crossed the Jordan, they set up the stones, they set up a memorial. The word zikron. That's the word. So that they made a present day stand where they were that said Yahweh did this. So for all those in the future to know that he did it, and all those into the past that brought them to the point where they are now. That is amazing to me. We wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for those from the past and what they did. As Brother Jay read in Exodus 34, Yahweh visits to the righteous, but he also visits the iniquity to the children. It runs through us, spirit, soul, and body. It permeates our very being. And so we're forging ahead for the future. Little children here today. And we keep on remembering, and it's recorded. What is history? It's just a record of past events. Now, I know I'm saying things that you all, well, I know this. But we're going to get a little better than that. Now, when I think of Yom Teruah and remembering, the first thing that you think of for me is the shofar, when I think of Yom Teruah, the shofar blast. And for me, I end up thinking about Avraham taking up Yitzhak and was going to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, where we know the Temple Mount to be. And you know the story, and you know what happened, and there wasn't a lamb caught in the thicket, so to speak, but it was a ram. Now, little boy lambs grow up to be big boy rams, right? So, keep that in mind. And the word in Hebrew is ayil. Ayil. Or ayil. I tried. It's A-Y-I-L is the way they, and I tried to listen to it on and make sure I say it correctly. Ayil is how the guy pronounced it that I listened to. So, let's turn to Isaiah 61, and we're going to read the first four verses. 61, reading the first four verses. Another very familiar passage. The Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to announce the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let out into light those bound in the dark, to proclaim the year of the favor of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all who mourn. Yes, provide for those in Zion who mourn, giving them garlands instead of ashes, or beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh, in which he takes pride. Now catch this. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore sites long destroyed. They will renew the ruined cities destroyed many generations ago. Pay careful attention to verse 3. When it says, a cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, then it says, so that they will be called ayil of righteousness. That's the word for ram. When you look that word up, you see it means pillar, mighty tree, doorpost in the proper context. It can mean all these different things. Strong man, leader, chief. It's also the word used for the covering of ram skin over the tabernacle or the food sacrifice, the food korban of the ram when they would bring rams. So what I've been hearing, and I'm going to go back and review, because we sang a song tonight that we've, or this afternoon, that we've always liked to sing on special occasions, Revive Us Again, Revive Us Again. It's a wonderful song by Jimmy Black. And to review your history and to see what Yahweh's done for you, it can revive you. Along the good with the bad, the things you don't want to remember, the things you do, it can revive you. Because at one point in time, when you read in verse 4, there were ancient ruins. There were things that were destroyed. There were ruined cities. But when Yahweh calls his people back, they're going to rebuild the things that were destroyed. I heard Karen say when she did the Hebrew teaching a couple days ago, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the renewed covenant. We're not going to a Jerusalem area that never existed before. We're going to a Jerusalem area one day that had been there. Yahweh's rebuilding, renewing the heavens and the earth. All these things had been. So what do? We connect with our ancestors. You'll be called oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh, in which he takes pride. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. We will do that. Again, we're going to do it via him preparing us, declaring and remembering. Declaring and remembering these ancient paths. Now, let's transition on to Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13. Here is how we're going to do this today. Because Yahweh is a God of the here and now. He was in the past, he's now, he's in the future. But what he's doing right now is what we're going to focus on. In this congregation, we're going to do our part to glorify him and to rid ourselves of anything that does not belong. Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13. Moshe gave these orders at the end of every 7 years during the festival of Sukkot in the year of Shemitah, when all of Yisrael have come to appear in the presence of Yahweh at the place he will choose. You are to read this Torah before all Yisrael so that they can hear it. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, and the foreigners you have in your town so that they can hear, learn, and fear your Elohim and take care to obey all the words of this Torah, and so that their children who have not known can hear and learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim for as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now, we've been talking about since, I don't know when, building Israel inside of us, making sure that the tabernacle is built in our hearts, making sure that the land that is our bodies is pleasing to Yahweh, clean hands, pure heart, all these scriptures. As we've alluded to in Psalm 51, David says, build the walls of Yerushalayim, rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. And they were up, talking about his heart after he had sinned. So here's where we are today. I know this is not the Shemitah year. I know we're not in the land, but it is Sukkot. And all these bodies sitting here, we make a nice-looking Eretz Yisrael, land of Yisrael. May Yahweh be pleased. May it be a pleasing aroma to him today. May we put off a wonderful scent to his nostrils. And here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to read Nehemiah 8, and then I'm going to discuss a couple little things. And we're going to read Deuteronomy 27 and 28, not the whole 28, just part of it. And I'd like y'all to stand when we get there. And we're going to renounce a few things today. And we're going to do something very special today. That's why you have the piece of paper. It's something that hit me this morning. And it was something that was spoken in the camp. And Yahweh had put a lot of these things together over the past month or two. But when it comes to me, normally he solidifies it right when I get up here. Sometimes I just throw away the notes. Other times it doesn't happen. But today, he put it together, and I'm very excited to share what I think will be a wonderful day of rejoicing at the end. So let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. And as you go there, notice what we just read, how the children will know what the ancestors were given by Yahweh. About the children, the ancestors, we are forevermore connected with our past so that we can build to the future. We learn from the beginning. We learn all those ancient ways, and as you all know this already, but we learn those steps. from then we remember, actively remembering. Now, Nehemiah chapter 8 says, all the people gathered with one accord in the open space in front of the water gate and asked Ezra. Now, a little point on Ezra. The sages teach that Ezra was the second Moshe because he came back from exile and established the Torah in the land. He was the main scribe. He was the main teacher behind all this. So they refer to him as the second Moshe. The Torah teacher to bring the scroll of the Torah of Moshe, which Yahweh had commanded Yisrael. Ezra the Kohen brought the Torah before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and all children, old enough to understand. It was the first day of the seventh month. Facing the open space in front of the water gate, he read from it to the men, women, and children who could understand. From early morning until noon, and all the people listened attentively to the scroll of the Torah. Ezra the Torah teacher stood on a wood platform which they had made for this purpose. Beside him on his right stood Mattiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, while on the left were Padiah, Mishael, Malkiah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the scroll where all the people could see him, because he was higher than all the people. When he opened it, all the people rose to their feet. Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great Elohim, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, as they lifted up their hands, bowed their heads, and fell prostrate before Yahweh with their faces to the ground. The Levaim, Yeshua, Bani, Sherevah, Yamin, Akuv, Shabtai, Hoduyah, Maaseiah, Klitah, Azariah, Yozavad, Hanan, and Pleiah explained the Torah to the people while the people remained in their places. They read clearly from the scroll in the Torah of Yahweh and translated it, and enabled them to understand the sense of what was being read. Nekemiah and Tirshata, Ezra the Kohen and the Torah teachers and the Levaim who taught the people, said to all the people, today is consecrated to Yahweh your Elohim. Don't be mournful, don't weep, for all the people had been weeping when they heard the words of the Torah. Then he said to them, go eat rich food, drink sweet drink, and send portions to those who can't provide for themselves. For today is consecrated to our Elohim. Don't be sad, because the joy of Yahweh is your strength. In this way the Levaim quieted the people, and they said, be quiet, for today is holy. Don't be sad. Then the people went off to eat, drink, and send portions, and celebrate, because they understood the words that were proclaimed to them. On the second day, the heads of the fathers, clans of all the people, assembled with the Kohanim and the Levaim before Ezra the Torah teacher to study the words of the Torah. They found written in the Torah that Yahweh had ordered through Moshe that the people of Israel to live in Sukkot during the feast of the seventh month. And they were to announce and pass the word into all their cities, into Jerusalem. Go out to the mountains and collect branches of olives, wild olives, myrtles, palms, and other leafy trees to make Sukkot as prescribed. So the people went out, brought them and made Sukkot for themselves, each one on the roof of his house, also in the courtyards of the house of Yahweh, in the open space by the water gate, and in the open space by the Ephraim gate. The entire community of those who had returned from exile made Sukkot and lived in the Sukkot. The people of Israel had not done this since the days of Yeshua the son of Nun. So there was a very great joy. Also, they read every day from the first until the last day in the scroll of the Torah of Yahweh. They kept the feast for 7 days. Then on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. They hadn't done it like that for all those years. And you see the joy that they had. You see that connection all the way back to Yahashua. Think about that. Think about what separated them from Yahweh. Dwell on that. Put yourself there in Yerushalayim being rebuilt. The enemy surrounds you, trying to kill you. Your own brothers are back in Persia plotting against you to keep you from rebuilding Yahweh's temple. There's people within the camp who are complaining and trying to cause problems. Ezra, Nehemiah, all of them falling on their faces from time to time. You'll read about in here, Yahweh, help us. Yahweh, help us. So what do we have here? We have a place where we can connect and remember our ancestors. We can understand what they went through, how they forged the path. Now, growing up, I was very patriotic, loved the patriotism for this country. But really, it was rooted in these principles found in here. I would love it when someone would get up and speak and quote from the Word and thank Yahweh for the United States of America. Still do. But the core of everything that this country should be about, and at times it would shine these things bright, is in here. So you, basically, your patriotism has not left you. It's just switched. It's done a paradigm shift from what man established to what Yahweh had always intended. And Sukkot is a day where we can rejoice in the fact of what our ancestors has done. It's almost to me like the 4th of July for Yahweh, except it's 8 days long. You know, it's almost like declaring what he has done, praising him for our ancestors, what he did to get us out of Egypt, all the things he's done. But Sukkot does something that the 4th of July cannot. It leads us to eternity. So keep that in mind. Now, we are going to go and read Deuteronomy 27 and 28. To keep in line, I want to do this mitzvot simply because there's something that you're going to do with this piece of paper that the anticipation is just crawling inside of you for, right? You're just ready. When are we going to write on this piece of paper? Let's go to Devarim 27, and we're going to read 28 through 1 through 14. So we're not going to read all 70 verses. We're going to read just a few. And 27 is rather short, but it always points out and starts with the curse first. So let's all stand, please, if you're able. Like I said, it's participation today. We're tired. Those of you who have been camping, you're yawning. We're going to participate. We're going to read these words. It's more important to hear these out loud than anything that comes from me. Then Moshe and all the leaders, again, this is 27 verse 1, of Israel gave orders to the people. They said, observe all the mitzvot I am giving you this day. When you cross the Jordan to the land Yahweh your Elohim is giving you, you are to set up large stones, put plaster on them, and after crossing over, write this Torah on them, every word, so that you can enter the land Yahweh your Elohim is giving you. Now, don't you think before we enter the land that every word of the Torah has to be written on our hearts? Amen? Don't you think we have to have a heart that Yahweh can use? We're going to fix this today, folks. I'm getting excited. So you can enter the land Yahweh your Elohim is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yahweh, the Elohim of your ancestors, promised you. When you have crossed the Jordan, you are to set up these stones, as I'm ordering you today, on Mount Ebal, and put plaster on them. There you are to erect an altar to Yahweh your Elohim, an altar made of stones. You are not to use any iron tool on them, but are to build the altar of Yahweh your Elohim of uncut stones. You are to offer burnt offerings on it to Yahweh your Elohim. You are also to sacrifice peace offerings, eat there, and be joyful in the presence of Yahweh your Elohim. You are to write on the stones all the words of this Torah very clearly. There's another commandment to be joyful at a certain time. Next, Moshe and the Kohanim, who are Leviim, spoke to all the Israel, and they said, be quiet and listen, Israel. Today you have become the people of Yahweh your Elohim. Therefore you are to listen, Shema, to what Yahweh your Elohim says, and obey his mitzvot and laws which I am giving you today. That same day, Moshe commissioned the people as follows. These are the ones who are to stand on Mount Gerizim and bless the people after you have crossed the Jordan, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Benjamin. While these are to stand on Mount Ebal for the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zevlun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levaim, speaking loudly, will proclaim to every man of Israel. Here we go. A curse on anyone who makes a carved or metal image, something Yahweh detests, the handiwork of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret. All the people are to respond by saying, Amen. A curse on anyone who dishonors his father or mother. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who moves his neighbor's boundary marker. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who causes a blind person to lose his way on the road. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who interferes with justice for the foreigner, orphan, or widow. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who has sexual relations with his father's wife because he has violated his father's rights. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who has sexual relations with any kind of animal. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who has sexual relations with his sister, no matter whether she is the daughter of his father or of his mother. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who has sexual relations with his mother-in-law. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who secretly attacks a fellow member of the community. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. All the people are to say, Amen. A curse on anyone who does not confirm the words of this Torah by putting them into practice. All the people are to say, Amen. If you listen closely to what Yahweh your Elohim says, observing and obeying all his mitzvot, which I am giving you today, Yahweh your Elohim will raise you high above all the nations of the earth. And all the following blessings will be yours in abundance if you will do what Yahweh, your Elohim, says. a blessing on you in the city, and a blessing on you in the countryside. A blessing on the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, and the fruit of your livestock, the young of your cattle and flocks. A blessing on your grain basket and kneading bowl. A blessing on you when you go out, and a blessing on you when you come in. Yahweh will cause your enemies attacking you to be defeated before you. They will advance on you one way and flee before you seven ways. Yahweh will order a blessing to be with you in your barns and in everything you undertake. He will bless you in the land Yahweh your Elohim is giving you. Yahweh will establish you as a people separated out for himself, as he has sworn to you. If you will observe the mitzvot of Yahweh your Elohim and follow his ways, then all the peoples on earth will see that Yahweh's name, his presence, is with you, so that they will be afraid of you. Yahweh will give you great abundance of good things of the fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your land, in the land Yahweh swore to your ancestors to give you. Yahweh will open for you his good treasure, the sky, to give your land its rain at the right season, so to bless everything you undertake. You will lend to many nations and not borrow. Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be only above, neither below, never below. If you will shema to observe and obey the mitzvot of Yahweh your Elohim, and not turn away from any of the words I am ordering you today, neither to the right nor to the left, to follow after other gods and serve them. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Now, that little piece of paper that you all have, as you're getting it out, I want you to write three letters on it, as big as you want. And you all can be seated if you like, because you're probably going to stand up in a few minutes again, so you might as well get comfortable for a minute. Please write G. G, the letter G as in G, as in goat. E, the letter E. Nope, just this word. You can put little dots here. It's a play on words is what I'm doing here. And the letter T. Rick, we're coloring Crayola. Something that Rick and I discussed and Bobby earlier today. I want you to think about this with me before we get to this. Here's a connection, here's a picture that Abba placed within me to share with you. Yahweh has cut many covenants, but he's also given many promises and vows and oaths. To me, within the word covenant, you need words to have a covenant. You need promises, oaths, vows. So within the word covenant, it's contained vows and oaths and words and all things spoken. And a covenant, then, if you do cut that animal in half and walk through it, it becomes a covenant. However, when Yahweh makes a promise and you don't see anything cut in half, doesn't mean it didn't happen, but doesn't mean he's going to lie and not do it. When he says something, he's going to do it. So with that in your mind, I want you to think of what Yahweh told Adam after the fall. And I'm going to do this with seven feasts and festivals and seven people. To me, Adam is a picture of Pesach because we needed a redeemer to make us perfect again, a second Adam. So, I mean, there's many pictures of these feasts and festivals. This isn't just the only, this is just one perspective. It's like looking up in a corner. You have a whole room behind you. This is just one perspective. So that's a picture to me of Passover, what happened to Adam, especially Genesis 3:15, where Joe caught up here earlier, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. You shall crush his head, he shall bruise your heel. Pictured it at the campground. I'm standing on the dead snake. Hasatan, the best he can do is try to bruise our heel. Yeshua came, he's perfecting us now, he's done the work, and we're ready for him to come again. All right? Second, Noach. To me, that's a picture of, and in this way that I'm describing it, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why? Because Yahweh had an earth full of people that had given themselves over to corruption and had a void of conscience. And he had one man left that was perfect in his sight, that would walk with him. Noach. So on unleavened bread, what do? You get everything out of your house that's leavening, that puffs up. You do it in the physical, but you also do it in here. You get rid of it. And what do you want Yahweh to do? You want him to seal you in your home and keep evil out and keep you protected within. While the nations are raging, while all the judgment's happening, if you have been righteous in his sight, you will receive justice for what your actions have done, and you will be protected within the tribulation that's around you. Picture of Noach, unleavened bread. For Abraham, first fruits. Yeshua was the first to rise. Abraham was the first, after this incident and the spreading of the peoples all over the globe at the Tower of Babel, to be called out. To be called out. And his name was Avram to start with. Yahweh met, as Craig said the other day, Yahweh met Avram where he was at. He didn't send Avram through training, basic training. He called him where he was, sent him to Haran, stayed there a while. His father died, and then moved him on into the land. Wasn't until he got into the land that hey was added to his name, the letter hey. And the spirit, representing breath, filled him. And then Yahweh started really dealing with him. The work really began. The refining process really began. Because then Isaac came along. Then Yaakov, then Yisrael. Five people, or five names. One of them is the same person, or two of them are the same person. Yaakov and Yisrael, Avram and Abraham. Pointing to the middle, Yitzhak. That's a nice little life structure, or chiastic structure, sort of, kind of. So you have Avram. To me, that's a picture with Avram of a man who is much like us. Yahweh met us where we were, called us out. Father met us. When the Holy Spirit was introduced to us, no matter where you were in your life, and you received the immersion of the Holy Spirit, he breathed into you. But that was just the beginning of your journey. He equipped you for battle. Before, he guarded you, still guarded you, but he equipped you for battle. Yitzhak comes along, and here's the promised son. This is like getting into Torah. Yitzhak, to me, is like Yahweh laughing at his enemies and saying, here's this promised son, I'm going to teach you about him. And where do we come from? We learned about Jesus. We learned about Yeshua. That's the first thing we learned about. Then he says, okay, I need a family. Yaakov, I need a family. He who grabs the heel, some say it could be deceiver as well. I like the he who grabs the heel myself. But then, not only do I need a family, I need a nation. So think about this. Our Father, the Father of all peoples, laughs at the enemy who tries to grab Yeshua's heel and stop what's going on with Israel. So you got to put that together a little better. You got to say, our Father, the Father of many peoples, will laugh at the enemy who's trying to trip up Yeshua and the people, his nation, Israel. That's just a word picture to me. That's how I put things together like this. But it's also a picture of the meaning of their names and our walk as believers. Because once we get into Yaakov, the family, we're part of his family. That's when we start learning Torah. What did it say about Yaakov? He sat in the tents. And then he had a name change because he wrestled with Yahweh and became a prince with Yahweh and overcame the enemy Esau coming ahead. And so now we're in the final stages of Torah life. Believe it or not, and I'm talking about physical life. Physical life. We're still maturing, don't get me wrong. But we're at a place here where Yahweh is pulling back the nation. He's bringing the family and nation together. And when Craig really hit on this the past few weeks, it really jumped and leapt inside of me because I was thinking of the same thing. Same Holy Spirit, just stirring the same things with inside of me. And when he touched on it, I thought, wow, that's confirmation to get up here and explain this out, this picture. Now we move on from Abraham, who is the first to come out. And we move to what Joe brought out great the past few weeks, Moshe at Sinai, Shavuot. I really don't probably have to explain why Moshe and the covenant given at Sinai is Shavuot. It just works very well. But however, you have Yom Teruah coming up next, correct? And Moshe was given something else at Moab, the second part of the covenant, a different covenant, connected with the first one, but something different at Moab, right before they entered the land. And what happens before you enter the land? You prepare. You sound the alarm. You blow the walls of Jericho down. So that there is a picture to me of Yom Teruah. Then you get to the Tabernacle of David. And that's, to me, a picture of David, what Yahweh said, that no one will come off your throne. And that is Yom HaKippurim. It's the day of the coronating of the kings, the day where everything's released in the year of Jubilee, the day of atonements. It's so many pictures, and we want to restore that fallen tabernacle because we want the two houses to come together to be a bride. It's also a wedding day. So to me, that picture of David fits perfectly with Yom HaKippurim, what he promised David. The last one that we're living in right now, all these things... All these things lead up to, of course, Yeshua and the renewed covenant and what he's working in us right now. What we're experiencing right now in Sukkot is a taste of his kingdom to come. We're just getting a taste. It's like when Yeshua would go on Shabbat, and many times in Scripture when someone needed healing, the writers of the Brit Hadashah would say, and it was Shabbat. They didn't throw that in there just because they wanted to let us know that it was Shabbat, no other reason. The leaders didn't like him healing on Shabbat because it was a taste, just a touch of his kingdom to come. Just a speck of him saying, you're healed. Isn't that what Shabbat's about? Taking off all that garbage and letting Yahweh lead you in the heights of Yaakov, not letting your foot go where you want it to go. A day set apart on him to get to know him. A taste of the kingdom, heaven coming down. Well, Sukkot embodies that because it's 7 days, but different from unleavened bread, it's got an eighth day added on. So it has a new beginnings, as we've touched on. So you put the week inside there, the number 7, completion, perfection. You see Shabbat. We see here when we read in Deuteronomy that they will flee from you in 7 ways. 7 nations that were within. Whether it's good for us or bad for us, that number 7 is a complete perfection of something. It could be complete perfect evil or complete perfect good. All right, whichever way you go with it. So on Sukkot, you have everything culminating of the. You have everything culminating with this number 7, leading into 8. Now, we're ready. I'm going to read Jeremiah 3, 20 through 22. And this requires participation. And it's about to get a little louder in here, believe it or not. Jeremiah 3 has stuck out to me over the past several months. We taught on it. It was a portion, I believe. And we taught on it several months ago. Jeremiah 3, 20 through 22. But like a faithless woman who betrays her husband, you, house of Israel, have betrayed me, says Yahweh. A sound is heard on the heights, the house of Israel crying, pleading for mercy because they have perverted their way and forgotten Yahweh their Elohim. Return, backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. We have been a faithless woman, and our ancestors have too. And since you know what we read, what Brother Jay read earlier about the iniquities being passed on through the third and fourth generation, we have an opportunity to put an end to it. Now, all of us in here have, I hope, and I believe everyone has, prayed for forgiveness for our ancestors. Prayed for forgiveness, and we've, all the prayer walks we're on, all the Tuesday night power meetings, we've done this. We've done it in our homes. We've done it all over the place. Testing. But the thing that is very important for us right now is something that I've never done before. And I believe if you can get the visual of this, you will be blessed, and it will take what we read in Isaiah 61 about taking that burden. What did Yeshua's purpose to come and relieve, take the yoke of bondage off of people? I have never told Yahweh that I divorce those nations and those things. I have never done that. I've told Yahweh, forgive me. I've told Yahweh, I repent, I turn to you. But in a contractual agreement, Yahweh states, not just here in Jeremiah 3, but many places, that you have divorced me. You did it because of your sins. And so I let you go. I gave you the get. Folks, these demonic spirits follow the judicial rules. They know the judicial side of things, the lawyer side of things, much better than we do. I shouldn't say much better. We're getting better. They know it a little better than we do. Let's just put it like that. But we're learning, as Yahweh teaches us through His Spirit, what to do and how to do it. Now, on this day of Sukkot, let's all stand up and hold our piece of paper up. Families, it could be the leader of the family, hold on to the paper. You have nations that are warring within you, that much of the stuff that you deal with was ancestral. DNA, spiritual wickedness from years gone by that you still deal with. We've asked forgiveness. We've cried out for teshuva. But some of these things keep haunting us and keep coming back. What we have here is telling the enemy, I divorce you. Here is your certificate. Lech lecha. Get out. Get out. I renounce you. I don't want anything to do with you. We renounce and we want to marry. And of course, we want to be married to, and we're desiring, and we're making every leap and step possible for Yeshua to be our bridegroom because we want to qualify. So on this day of rejoicing, on this day where eternity meets the physical realm, where we walk through that gate, where we look into a sukkah and we can see a huppah, an eternal covering coming, we say Yahweh in Yeshua's name, we divorce the enemy. All together. Yahweh. In Yeshua's name. We divorce the enemy. Here is your get. Now get. Hallelujah. What do you think of that? What do you think of them apples? That's some sour persimmons for that enemy, isn't it? Now, we can really rejoice. It's a feast of rejoicing. Do you know what? We can be a mighty oak planted. We can be a bunch of rams. We're maturing. When you become a lamb, you raise up to a ram. The enemy doesn't want to deal with a mature ram. With Yeshua, when he was a lamb, guess what? He's returning as a lion. But there's going to be things that try to stand out of his way. And his horns are going to come right through it. And his authority is going to be established. And Yerushalayim will be the center of the universe. Praise His name. So, all these things are under His feet and all these types and pictures and these parallels. Now, y'all can stand or you can sit. We're winding this thing down. But here's where it gets very interesting. Where a sukkah meets the huppah, meets eternity. Let's finish reading Jeremiah above Jeremiah 3. Now, interesting to me, and I'll tell you where to turn in a second. Interesting to me, it's 14 through 21. Yahweh says this before He says what we just read. Jeremiah 3:14. Return, backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am your maker or master. I will take you one from a city, two from a family, and bring you to Zion. I will give you shepherds after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And says Yahweh, in those days when your numbers have increased in the land, people will no longer talk about the ark for the covenant of Yahweh. They won't think about it. They won't miss it. And they won't make another one. When that time comes, they will call Yerushalayim the throne of Yahweh. All the nations will be gathered there to the name of Yahweh, to Yerushalayim. No longer will they live according to their stubbornly evil hearts. In those days, the house of Yehuda will live together with the house of Yisrael. Live together. Unity. They will come together from the lands in the north to the land I gave your ancestors as a heritage. I thought that I would like to put you among the sons with inheritance rights and give you a pleasant land, the best heritage of all the nations. I thought that you would call me my father and never stop following me. And then he goes into saying that. That's what he desired. Now, he's reading this here. Keep that in mind. Now go to Isaiah chapter 4. We're going to tie this in. Isaiah chapter 4. I'm only reading a few, just a few places where it talks about Yerushalayim. And as we turn there, I want you to picture a sukkah in your mind. And we decorated that thing with all these palms and leafy greens. And I put a few things on there that weren't in Scripture. They're brown. The palms and the myrtle are green. And this is what, the sixth day of Sukkot? There's 7 days of Sukkot, eighth day Shemini Atzeret, and Psalm 90, verse 10. You're living great when you get to 70, but 80 is a real blessing. The Sukkah is a picture to me of our present stay here in this temporal body. However, it leads us, when you sit in that thing, you get a taste of eternity. And it gives you just enough to wet your tongue to say, yeah, this is what I want. This is what I want. Give me more. Give me more. And by that eighth day, those things are starting to turn brown. That's how we're connected to our ancestors too. We have a finite time here. However, everyone that's gone before us that knew of Yahweh and has been proclaimed, they're waiting and they're watching and they're anticipating and they're declaring and they're preparing and they're interceding and they are waiting for the coming of Yeshua. They're just waiting, and they're through Yeshua cheering us on to touch that. Now, here's a picture. Isaiah 4 is a very short chapter, and we're going to read the whole thing. On that day, seven women will grab hold of one man and say, who do you suppose the man is? We will supply our own food and wear our own clothes. Just let us bear your name and take away our disgrace. On that day, Yahweh's plant will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and splendor of Israel's survivors. Those left in Zion and remaining in Jerusalem will be called holy, and everyone in Jerusalem written down for life. When Yahweh washes away the filth of the women of Zion and cleanses Jerusalem from the blood shed in it with the blast of searing judgment, Yahweh will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a smoking cloud by day and a shining flaming fire by night. For the glory will be over everything like a huppah, a canopy, a covering. A sukkah will give shade by day from the heat. It will also provide refuge and cover from storm and rain. So Yahweh's Shekinah will be like a huppah, and we will be there and have a sukkah, a temporary dwelling by day, but always, always will be his Shekinah Hupa. Always will be his presence. Always. Now, Zechariah 14:16, there's two more left, and we're going to drive this home. Now, this just speaks of how Jerusalem, half will live, half will die. It's going to be a war. But 14:16, don't you know? Finally, everyone remaining from all the nations that came to attack Jerusalem, everyone that came against Jerusalem, will go up every year to worship the king, Yahweh Zevot, and keep the festival of Sukkot. There's Jerusalem again, and every nation that had an issue is going to have to come there and bow their knee. Now, y'all, married or not married, close your eyes and picture something with me. In the Hebraic mind, don't think with the Greek mind, don't think of all the things that you've been trained to think. Think about being a virgin of Israel, not just in a sexual connotation, but all the way around. Think about all the nations that warred within that we've just divorced. They're gone now. When we stated that, it was declared in the heavenlies, and there's rejoicing in the heavenlies that we just did that. What we're going to say now is, imagine contained within that huppah, a sukkah that we're in now, at Cedar Pond or wherever your sukkah is set up. You walk through that huppah, the door of the back of it opens up, and you walk under a canopy, a covering, a huppah. So you go through the sukkah to the huppah into the eighth day, and there is your bridegroom reaching his hand out to you. And he's saying to you, I've been waiting. I'm finally here. Come to me, my bride. And you enter as his queen, because he's the king, and if we're the bride, we're the queen. So you enter into that huppah for eternity with him. Now I want you to think about, on a physical level, the day you felt when you looked at someone you loved, someone that your heart fluttered. Maybe you gentlemen mixed up your words. You ladies thought, wow, that's the one Yahweh has for me. You saw a piece, a taste of Yeshua in that other person. Do you remember how excited you were? Do you remember when you just were filled with that anticipation just to see that person? Those are physical examples of like a sukkah where you can sit in and just get a taste. But when the huppah comes, When the hoopah comes, when the hoopah comes, guess who's going to be reaching his hand out? Guess what's going to go away? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven, or renewed heaven and renewed earth. For the renewed heaven, or the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer there. Also I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Many here it talks about when it's coming down, the New Jerusalem, it's like a sukkah coming down. And in some versions I've read, it talks about the sukkah of Yahweh, the New Jerusalem coming down to meet earth. We discuss how we are in a temporary body, in a temporary land, but Yahweh's kingdom is at a temporary place. His sukkah is coming here to be a hoopah for all eternity. So not only do we have a connection with the sukkah, he has a connection with his sukkah. And boy, does he want to bring it and come down here. And he wants you to know this last part. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, see, Yahweh's Shekinah is with mankind. And here it is, and he will sukkah with them. They will be his people, and he himself, Elohim with them, will be their Elohim. All the pain, all the sorrow will be wiped away. That is eternity. That's what we're touching on this festival. That is why we rejoice. That is why we're connected with the generations, because everything they did directly affects us. That's why we need to divorce the enemy and say, Yahweh, Yeshua is our bridegroom. Because last I checked, you can't be married to one and then go and marry to another. So if you've never said that like me, you've said it today. Now believe it, live it, and touch eternity. When we get back out there and you sit in that hoopah, remember whatever it is Yeshua told you to remember and dwell on that word. Speak it back to him. Open up that scripture he brings to your heart. And even if it takes 20 times repeating it like we did, his mercy endures forever, he knows you're serious when you keep repeating yourself. He repeats himself. We do these festivals every year. We have Shabbat every week. He tells us over and over again. So we'll learn and fear and learn to do according to all his word. And we'll have a relationship with him. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh, I thank you for this people, Yisrael. I thank you that we are in love with a man who defies the darkness of the enemy. I thank you that you defeat and crush these things that come against us. I thank you that you don't leave us alone. And I thank you that you want to marry us and that you're preparing a place for us, a place that will come down and be in the midst of all the earth. All nations will go to you. And they're not going there, Father, to make war. They're going there to see your glory. And Father, I can't help but believe when all the nations go and see the beauty of your face, that they will say, I am no longer a goyim. I am now Yisrael. And that all the earth will be filled with your light. And there won't be anyone else except Yisrael, your people, your bride. That's my hope. Father, you're the great judge. You know what's best. But Father, you have a group of people here today that want that relationship. We desire to touch eternity. We want more. We don't want to covet the enemy. We covet you. Every moment of every day with you, it's important. And may this Sukkot forever change our lives, because we have divorced the things that our ancestors have done. And now there's nothing to keep us from walking straightway to you. There's no judicial papers. There's no legislation. There's nothing that the enemy can throw. Yeshua's blood perfects us as we go. We're walking in that, and we're living your Torah, and we're desiring everything you wanted from the beginning. Thank you for these types of Yeshua that we live. Thank you for the stirring within us to minister to the nations, to be a vessel, a light for you to use. Thank you, Yeshua, our bridegroom. Receive this blessing, Yahweh. And I thank you for the dance team that's about to bring this presentation of In Love With You. Being in love with you, we imagine that. We put ourselves back to when we saw that person that you said, that's the one. And that the anticipation that I just can't wait. I can't wait to just spend and have a relationship with that person. Renew that in us for you. May we just be on our tippy toes, just waiting. When is it? When is it? When is it? When is it? Rejoicing, rejoicing. When is he coming? Hallelujah. Prepare me. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. But I want you. I can't wait to see you. You've got to do that, Yahweh. We don't know how. You do it. I beg of you, Father, please fill us with that anticipation, with that excitement, with that joy. Connect us with their ancestors. Give us the heart, all the generations, the heart of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You keep repeating all those ancestors, Father, fill us with the joy that they had in their hearts. Pile it up through the millennia up to us so it'll just be overflowing day and night. Dreams and visions and healings and miracles, signs and wonders, because your Spirit's pouring out and the Torah is being written on our heart. May it be speed typing on our heart. Write it on our heart, Father. May it just be open. May we not turn our heart away from you and say, no, no, I want to do this. May it be a heart open to you, exposed to you, so you can legibly engrave in our heart. And we can be that bride that you say, well done. You're my good and faithful servant, but you're also my bride for my bridegroom. Come be a queen for my king. In Yeshua's name, amen.